Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 273, stanzas 1, 2, 6, and 7. Thou, O Jehovah, shalt endure. Thy throne forever is the same, and to all generations sure shall be thy great memorial name. 1, 2, 6, and 7 of Psalter 273.
congregation, the portion to be read can be found in the first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis, thereof the 24th chapter. But before that, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Genesis 24, the first 9 verses. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house, that ruled over all that he had, Put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh. And I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, Peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou camest? And Abraham said unto him, Beware thou that thou bring not my son thither again. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me and that sware unto me, saying, Unto thy seed will I give this land. He shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath. Only bring not my son thither again. And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham his master, and swear to him concerning that matter. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord, God of heaven and of earth, wilt thou teach us to pray? For we know not what to pray for as we ought. But thou who didst pray with groanings that cannot be uttered, and wast heard of thy own father, because thou didst fear, wilt thou give that also in our own hearts may come a prayer and supplication. We are by nature increased and lifted up. With goods we have need of nothing. We see not our awful and wretched state. We feel not our condition. The prosperity of this world satisfies all the desires of our flesh. And so we go unto the grave, except that thou wilt stop us upon our mad career and open our poor blind eyes that we may see and touch our hard and stony hearts that we may begin to feel, that we may begin to weep, that we may begin to desire. We read in thy word of a Lydia of old, that she attended unto the things that were spoken of Paul. Oh, in one moment thou art able to give us a new heart. and put a right spirit within us, and plant within us that fear of thy name, and enlist us in that warfare of the church militant, that we may desire to walk before thee in truth and in uprightness, and that sin may become sin indeed unto each and every one of us. O Lord, we read in thy holy word concerning thy own dear Son, and that thou didst see the travail of his soul, and thou wast satisfied. O, that that may become precious unto us. We see no form nor comeliness in him by nature, and even after received grace, when we yet have all our own labors upon which we do hope and depend, that we will yet make it right with thee, and that we will no more sin against thee. But wilt thou bring us to an end of all our own devices, our own strength, our own righteousness, that we may come to that holy despair, and that we may be given to know thee and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. O, he is precious to thy people. He has form for them. He has comeliness to them. He is to them white and ruddy. He is to them the chiefest among 10,000. Despised by the Pharisees. Despised by this world. It is a secret that thou hast reserved for those that fear thee. Thou hast hidden this from the wise and the prudent. And thou hast revealed these things unto the babes. Oh, that we may be made such babes, each and every one of us. Babes in understanding, babes in strength and might, babes in wisdom, babes in dependence upon thee, and that we may have those blessed revelations in all our need of all that blessed work which thou hast done, decreed and thought out from eternity, and accomplished in the time. And now we have sung together of those, the kings and the nations, they shall come unto Zion. Oh, shall we then with our children be left behind? Oh, that we may have our carelessness taken away from us, that thou may bless the means thy holy word, and by the power of thy most holy Spirit, that we may be born again. Bless also the means that thou usest in this world, the callings that have come unto us as a congregation and as a community, serious and solemn callings. Remember those that mourn. Do uphold them day by day in all that they cannot give unto themselves. Teach them that blessed comfort that descends from thee, and give to them yet that peace that passes all understanding. Do remember those that have become old, difficulties of the mind and of the body, but also those that struggle with serious diseases and that receive treatments. Wilt thou bless the means Do look upon our children and upon our youth. They are young. They think to have life yet before them, but they do not yet realize and that it is but a vapor, and that it comes and quickly disappears. Oh, that they may be given to take heed to thy holy word. When thou dost say, remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth, and thy Spirit may draw them, and that they may be kept from the sins of the prince of darkness, and that he seeks to destroy both soul and body. Remember thy servants that may labor also in this area and all over the denomination and in the congregations, also upon the mission field. All those that bring thy word over the length and breadth of this whole world, give that thy kingdom may come, and that many may come to sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of God. And oh, that we with our children may not stand afar off in that great and notable day, placed on the left hand, after that we have heard that word all our life long. O Lord, bind these matters upon our hearts, and wilt thou break our hard hearts? Wilt thou melt our cold, our ice-cold hearts? And wilt thou make them soft and impressionable before thee, that we may be as clay in thy holy fingers? Do remember those that rule and reign over us, a great and awesome responsibility. Oh, that thou may bind also thy truth upon their hearts and turn us again unto thee. Lord, help us this hour. Do strengthen us for the labors of our hands. But be thou with us feelingly and believingly. Oh, that in the midst of us thy Spirit may dwell, and that which we hope to speak about in this hour, that it may be for the glory of thy name, that it may it be for the encouragement of those that say, behold, I am a dry tree. Oh, that thou may say unto the eunuchs, where have no fruit in themselves, and that I will give thee a place and a name better than of the sons and of the daughters. Help us then in this hour. Be with us with thy presence, blessing, and favor undeservedly for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 417 all the stanzas. Send forth, O Lord of my salvation, thy light and truth to be my guide. O let their rays in my privation lead me unto thy habitation, where neath thy wing I'll be supplied. With grace thou wilt provide. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 417, and the very last collection today will be for the Lethbridge Care Home. beloved congregation. Hope that is the motive of all of our labors. It is the motive of all of our efforts. There are many ideas. There are many thoughts that are in the minds of men in this world that are never accomplished. And why not? Because they have no reasonable hope even to begin to labor. We read about Nahash the Ammonite, that they came up against the men of Jabesh-Gilead. And what did the men of Jabesh-Gilead do? Did they begin to fight? They did not. They said, "Make a covenant with us, and we will serve thee." Why? Because they had no hope. No reasonable hope that they could fight and win that battle. Thus, where there is no hope, there is not even a beginning of laboring, of fighting, and of expending our efforts. Hope. Hope is the motive that is lying behind, underneath all of our efforts. There are still many efforts, however, in this world. There is much labor in this world. There are also many labors that actually come to nothing. There are labors that begin in hope, and they end in despair. What does that mean? What were those hopes whereby that those labors had been begun? You say those were hopes which did not have a good foundation. Those were hopes actually that were false. They were hopes that did not have a good premise. They were based on a promise, perhaps, of someone who was not faithful. Read in the Bible, after the flood, then they said, "Come, and let us build us a city and a tower." And what happened to it, boys and girls? Did it ever come? It did not come. They began to work. They began to labor. Why? Hope. They looked forward to something. But they were not good hopes. Though the Lord, He had commanded them to spread forth all over this world, to replenish the earth. They did not want to do this. They wanted to remain all together. And therefore their hopes, they ended in despair. It is an awful thing when we have labored and labored and labored, and finally we find out that all of our labors, they are in vain. Finally we find out that the hopes which we had hoped upon, they were not well grounded. And that it cannot be accomplished. And the longer that we have labored, and the more important that object was, greater our disappointment is going to be when the reality that becomes evident that there is no foundation in our hope. What a disappointment. What greater disappointment can there be when a man, he is coming to the end of his life, and when he has hoped all his life concerning the need of his own soul, when he has hoped to enter into heaven, and at the very end of his life, at that last moment, that he is cast into hell. That is what Bunyan saw. He says, "Then I saw that there was a way to hell, even from the gates of heaven, as well as from that city of destruction." What an awful, awful disappointment. That it shall be, the Lord Jesus says, for so many, many, many people. How do you come to the Lord's house? Sabbath after Sabbath day. Why do you come to the Lord's house? Some of you will say, children, you will say, "My mother brought me here. My father brought me here." That is good. Young people, you will say, "I have to go from mother and father." That is good. And mothers and fathers, why did you come? You say, "I have been taught that from my youth." That is good. That has been my custom all the days of my life. I have brought my children also here. On the Sabbath day, we go up to the house of the Lord. Because that is right. That is good. But if that is now how far it goes in our life, then it will not profit us. You read in the Bible, Solomon says, "I saw the wicked buried, who had come and gone from the place of the holy." He had come and gone back and forth, Sabbath after Sabbath. And he died and he was buried as a wicked man. What is your hope? And you hope just upon a custom? You hope just upon a duty? That you go back and forth to the house of the Lord? If that is then your hope, that hope is going to be greatly disappointed. There are people, they even come to the Lord's house, especially with the intention to blame the Lord with that coming. Just as if that their cold and their hard-hearted attendance in the house of the Lord, their cold and their hard-hearted manner of performing religious duties was actually a fulfillment of the command of the Lord. And as if such a thing actually obliges the Lord to give to them a blessing. "I have gone up unto thy house all my life long." It is nothing but a rebellious desire to justify ourselves in that miserable state and condition that we are in. To justify ourselves, that is what Adam did. He blamed the Lord. He says, the woman that thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. Did not help Adam. Will not help us. That hope, because it is a hope, that hope to justify ourselves before God in that day of days, to justify our wickedness, to justify our carelessness, and to hide ourselves behind our own inability, that hope, to blame it on the Lord, to blame it on His own decree, that is going to prove to be a false hope. A false hope. When we come before the judge, there will be no excuses. No excuses. There are also those here that come in a different way. There are those that come here sometimes full of discouragement. Why? Because you say, I have come here so many times in my life. Maybe you are old. And you have come and gone from the house of the Lord. And you read the Word of God. You search that Word of God. You bow your knees. You beg from the Lord. You come to that house of the Lord and you see last Sabbath, we had the Lord's Supper. And you see maybe after many years of crying unto the Lord, that it is always for someone else. Maybe you see there is now a young man, there is now a young woman, and then your fear that is living deep down in your heart, that is now, I will be left behind. It comes again the Sabbath day, then you are glad. Then you go on your knees. Then you say, oh Lord, is it now possible that on this day there would be just a crumb? Is it now possible that there could be life also for me? Sometimes you weep. And yet you say, it is, I'm afraid, like the morning cloud. It comes and then it is gone and it disappears. And then others, they say to you, you do it all wrong because you just need to believe. And then you say in the bottom of your heart, oh, I need to be converted as the Lord. He is converting all His people. But sometimes you say, I think it is no use. I think that heart is too hard. I think that heart is too cold. I think that heart is too dead. I think that heart cannot be broken. And yet you come. And yet you come to that house of the Lord. And why? Because you say, O Lord, to whom else shall I go? Thou alone hast the words of eternal life. Oh, there is a people. They are laboring. Why? Because there is a hope. A hope. We do not labor without hope. What is that hope? What is that hope? Does that hope have a good foundation? Is that now a hope that on that great day of days is going to be made a shame? Congregation, we wish in this afternoon to begin a little journey. Children, will you go with us? We want to take a little journey. If the Lord will give it to us in the weeks to come. And we want to examine something. What is that? We want to examine that hope of which a man in the end of his life will never be made ashamed. That hope that is the basis, that is the foundation of the efforts of the true church of God. And which is leading that people unto Him. Our text for this afternoon hour that can be found in Genesis 24, the last part of the seventh verse. Genesis 24, verse 7, the last part. And thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. So far the words of our text. Eliezer sent to seek a wife for Isaac. First, the purpose of this sending. Second, the person who was sent. And third, the certainty in this sending. Eliezer sent to seek a wife for Isaac. First, the purpose of this sending. Second, the person who was sent. And third, the certainty in this sending. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. He is old. 140 years old, children. You say that is old. Yes, 3 years before then his wife Sarah, she has died. And Abraham, he thinks it will not be long before he also has to die. Abraham, he will yet live for another 35 years. But before he dies, Abraham makes preparations for this. We also do that. Congregation, do we also have a will that is not easy to do, but it makes us to consider the reality of life, which is that we have here no continuing city, and all things need to be set in order also concerning the things of this life for our children. Abraham, he is thinking about the future. Abraham is a rich man. But that is not what Abraham is concerned about. No, he is concerned about something else. What is that? Well, he is concerned that Isaac, he is yet a single man. Isaac, his son, he has not yet a wife. You say, is that such a bad thing? Not everyone gets married. That is true. Marriage is not for everyone. And yet, Abraham, he is rightly concerned. It cannot remain so. It cannot remain so with Isaac. And why can it not remain so? Because it has not only to do with Isaac as a person. It has not only to do with the desires of the father of Isaac, but that has to do with the promise that Abraham has received. That has to do with the entire church of God. That has to do with the bringing forth of the Messiah, the mediator in that time that is to come. Thus, no, it is not just a light matter. It is not just a personal matter. But it is a matter that has to do with the Lord Himself. No, Isaac, he cannot remain without a wife. And Abraham, as the father of Isaac, he is also very rightly concerned about this very, very important matter. Congregation, not only Christ Himself, but also His Father, is very rightly concerned with the bringing in of the Church of God. As we have sung about, it is the Father Himself that is concerned that that Son of God shall receive a bride, that he shall receive a wife. Why is that? Well, because in the first place, the Father Himself, He has promised this unto His own Son. He has promised that He would receive an inheritance. Our young people, they know of that covenant that was made between the Father and the Son. The things that were required by the Son in that covenant, but also the promises that were made to the Son by the Father. And one of those promises is that there should be a seed that would serve Him. Thus He would give to Him His church. He would give to Him a people. This is to be His reward. When the Father would see the travail of His soul and would be satisfied, and then He would give to him what He had also promised to him. Thus there is an obligation. There is an obligation on the side, on the part of the Father. Thus we see the foundation. It is the foundation of what? It is the foundation of the hope. The hope of that true church of God. That is not a light matter. Because that foundation, it is going all the way back to that stillness of eternity. Before that the pillars of this earth were founded upon the seas, the foundation was laid in eternity for the salvation of the church of God. The creation of this entire world that was only a means to bring about what the Lord had intended even from eternity concerning His own people. Thus the Father Himself, He has laid the foundation in His own decree, in His own intentions, in His own good pleasure, in His own desire, what He did want as that sovereign being, even Gamaliel. He says, you cannot overthrow this, lest haply, he says, ye be found to fight against God. Satan fought it, that it should not happen. But when he fought, then we can read how that Christ, he has bruised his head. that he has not received the victory in that fight. No, but the Son of God himself, in his active, in his passive obedience, he has received that victory. Thus, it is both the Father and the Son that have an interest in this. In what? In the gathering of the church of God. In the bringing together. In the seeking out of a bride, of a wife, for the Lord Jesus Christ. What more solid foundation can there be for the hope of a man? For the hope of being gathered into the church of God? What more solid rock can such a hope be founded on? What do we read the apostle says? If then anything will be asked according to his will, he heareth us. Thus the Father and the Son, with an interest to gather the church, to bring them in. And it is not only the Father and the Son, but we see in our second thought, it is also the Spirit of the Lord. We see the person who was sent. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house, that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, by the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell, but thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac, the eldest servant of his house. Who is that? That is most likely, it does not say here, but most likely that is Eliezer. We can trace Eliezer through about 60 years of the life of Abraham, and he has probably lived even longer than that. We know that there was a time that Abraham even thought that Eliezer was going to be his heir, that he was going to receive all that he did have. And we read that this Eliezer, that he ruled over all that he had. So he had all the care and all the management of the affairs of Abraham in his own hand. And now when Eliezer is sent, then we have before us a picture. Then we have before us a picture of the sending forth of the servants of the Lord under the administration of the power of the Holy Spirit. By what means does that Holy Spirit of the Lord gather his church in this world? That is by the use of his servants. We can read about the prophets. We can read about the disciples, the apostles, and now the servants of the Lord. Thus we have a picture of the work of that Spirit of the Lord through the means that he has given. And what is he sent to do? They are sent to gather that church of Christ. Abraham, he makes Eliezer swear an oath, we read here. An oath by whom? He has to swear by the name of the Lord. And you know who that Lord is, boys and girls, when it has it in all capital letters, then you know that name that is Jehovah, that is the covenant God. More names for God in the Bible. But here he is made to swear by the name of Jehovah. Why do you think so? Well, because what Abraham is doing here when he is sending forth Eliezer to seek a wife for Isaac, Abraham is doing by faith. Then he is doing this, looking to that covenant that the Lord he has himself sworn unto him, and that he has sworn in eternity. He must put his hand under his thigh. That was the custom of that time, and that did indicate a certain subjection. So Eliezer, he is not sent on his own to do his own business, but Eliezer, he is sent as a servant, and he is in subjection unto his master, that is Abraham, but also Isaac. Thus we read even of the Holy Spirit of the Lord. What did the Lord Jesus say? He shall not speak of himself, but he shall receive of mine, and he shall show it unto you. Thus when that Spirit of the Lord that is sent out both by the Father and the Son, and when he is filling his servants, then he is doing that will of the Lord to bring in that church. Thus the Spirit of the Lord, you say he is equal to the Father and the Son, that is right. But the Spirit of the Lord, he also is in what we call the economy of the Godhead. The Son, he receives that work of meriting salvation. And that Spirit of the Lord, he receives the work of the application. And that is now what we are considering in this history. The application. Do you desire to know the application? It is not enough that the Lord, he has merited salvation, when it remains always for someone else. We can speak about the necessity of the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is true. But there is also the third person in the Holy Trinity. We heard of him in this morning hour. And the work of that Holy Spirit is typically something that in our days that is passed over. Then man, he wants to hear an objective preaching of the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ. But how now does the Lord apply those merits to the heart of a man, that he may give to him hope, and then not a hope that is going to be made ashamed, but that he may give to him a hope that is to be well grounded. And here we see the grounds of a hope that cannot fail, because it is a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, who has an interest in this, to bring forth that bride, to find that bride for the Lord Jesus Christ. Can there be anything that stands in the way? When it is the intention of the triune God to accomplish this work, is there not then reason to hope? Let us sing. 289, 1 through 5. Oh, praise the Lord. His deeds make known, and call upon his name. Sing ye to him, his praises sing, his wondrous works proclaim. 289 stanzas 1 through 5. thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. Eliezer sent to seek a wife for Isaac. First, the purpose of this sending. Second, the person who was sent. And last, the certainty in this sending. Thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. You hear that, young people? Not of the Canaanites. Why not? They are heathens. That was not only for those days. That is also for our days. And there is no common ground to have a marriage. Amos says, can two walk together except they be agreed? Isaac's wife, she must be from the children of Shem and not from that cursed nation of Canaan. See, Boaz married Ruth. She was a Moabitess. That is true. But it was not until after that Ruth had come to trust in the Lord God of Israel. There you have the order. There you have the order. First, there must be a common ground. First, the membership in the church. First, there is agreement, confession of the most important matters. Then a marriage. How far did Abram go to send a wife, for a wife for Isaac, even back to his father's house? That is reminiscent of the work of the Spirit of the Lord. The command to the apostles that they are to go to all nations in order to gather in that bride. How far are you away from the Lord? Are you also at the ends of the earth? Say the Lord, he can never find me here. But where did Abraham send Eliezer? Nor was he to bring Isaac back unto that people, his former dwelling place? No, because the Lord is going to give the inheritance, the promised inheritance, he is going to give unto his people. And so that bride, she is called, come ye out from among them and be ye separate. He is going to give to them a different land. What now about that question of Eliezer? What does he say? Peradventure, the woman will not be willing to follow me into this land. How real was this fear of this servant? What if she is not willing to come with me? According to all human calculations, Eliezer, he has an impossible mission. He is going to go to a land that is very, very far away. He's going to seek there a wife for Isaac who is going to be completely unknown to this woman. It is true. This was a former relation. And he is sent back to that place. But it has been already 65 years since a separation has taken place between Abraham and that people. And now that woman, she is going to have to break with her father and with her mother and her brothers and her sisters and her friends and her customs and her gods, her idols, what they were. We can read that later if this time. And she is going to have to come to a far away land and to marry a man she has never seen in her life. She does not know him. How can she love him? Eliezer, Peradventure this woman will not be willing to follow me into this land. I have no power to influence this woman. That she would do such a thing, that would be a miracle if that woman would leave everything behind and just go with me. I can hardly expect that. That is actually against everything that is natural. Our very human nature, that is contrary to all this. Peradventure, the woman will not be willing to follow me into this land. Congregation, do you understand the objection of this servant as a minister? Then we understand that. Why? Because true conversion is a miracle. True conversion is a wonder from heaven. That is not something that we just have the power to affect in the heart of a man. That is not something that we can just do. We cannot just convince a man. Just read what regeneration is in the canons of Dort. That is not just by the power of human suasion. Now, how can we now draw the heart, children? How can we draw your heart? How can we draw your heart to forsake the world and every former friend, to leave it all, that your heart would be ripped away from it, that you would not have a desire for it? All the things that our hearts desire, the Satan, he is drawing us. And now we, how can we change that? Will our word be stronger than all the temptations that you have in this world? That you will be ready just at our word to leave everything behind for the cause of the Lord and for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ? Say no. That is impossible. Everything is against that. The very human nature itself that is contrary. There is a rebellion that is living in the heart of fallen man. He is not just neutral, that he can be convinced one way or the other. No, he is a rebel. What is the answer of Abraham? Abraham said unto him, "Beware, thou, that thou bring not my son thither again. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me and that sware unto me, saying unto thy seed will I give this land, he shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence." They are the last words that we read of Abraham in the Bible. Words of faith. Words of dependence upon the word of the Lord, upon the promise of the Lord. Blessed man. And he reassures his servant about what? About the success of his journey, of his mission. He says, you do not need to be afraid. That this journey that you are going on is going to be fruitless. No, he says, she is going to come back with you. He is so sure of that. Even though it is against everything that nature would do. He says, this cannot fail. Why can it not fail? Because, he says, the cause is not our own. But this cause that belongs unto the Lord, he says, the Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house, he called me away from that land of Ur. He is going to do it. There is a covenant. It is sworn. A mediator is promised. This cannot be disannulled. There is a church that is promised to him. An inheritance that is promised to him. And the Lord, he is going to do this. And therefore, he says that there is going to be power. Not your own power. He says, the Lord is going to send an angel before thee. This is going to be a supernatural power that is going to convince this woman so that it does not need to be up to man just to be persuasive in his words. No, but the Lord, his power will be there, and he is going to touch the heart of this woman. And thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. Cannot be any other way. That is now the hope. That is now the hope of the true servants of the Lord. Because they are sent. They are sent by the Lord to do something which is not their own, but it has the interest of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. What did the Lord say to Isaiah? He says, I have put my words in thy mouth, and I have covered thee under the shadow of my hand. Why? That I may plant the heavens, and that I may lay the foundations of the earth, and that I may say unto Zion, thou art my people. Thus the salvation of that church, that is sure. That bride congregation, that bride is going to be gathered. The word of the Lord will not return unto him void. Does that need now to be but the hope of the servants of the Lord? May that not also be your hope. Oh, when you are discouraged, and when you fear that it will never be, and when finally you say that I think my heart that is just too hard, and it is too cold, and that it is just too dead, and that I cannot move it, and that the minister also cannot move it. I am glad you are honest with yourself, and I hope that you stay honest with yourself, even though you have to wait for it. But you also need not to be discouraged. Do you think that the Lord himself does not know it has to be a miracle? Do you think that the Lord himself does not understand the depth of the fall of man? That he is dead in trespasses and in sins? And has the Lord himself not provided the power that is necessary to gather his own bride, to bring her from far, to work, to touch that heart, to give to her a brand new life? Do you think that the Lord does not know this? He shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. That is the good pleasure of the Father and of the Son. It is the work of the Holy Spirit. He is doing it for his own great name's sake. That is why the Lord Jesus, he says, ask. Ask, he says, and ye shall receive. Seek, he says, and ye shall find. Knock, he says, and it shall be opened unto you. For, he says, everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Here is the foundation of the hope of that people. Is that a good foundation? Promise of the Lord? Intention of the triune God? To gather his own church? Is that not a solid foundation? For a hope that is good? For a hope that shall not be made ashamed? What does the Lord say? And ye shall seek me? And ye shall find me when you will search for me with all your heart. If indeed there is the hope, if this is now the motive which puts a man to work in all your begging, in all your seeking, in all your sighing, in all your crying, in all your waiting, and when you are chattering and mourning like a dove, if this is now your motive, then that hope that cannot be made ashamed, if we do not find congregation, then we have not sought it. Then we have not sought it. Storm, therefore, that throne of grace. Children, whether we read about Jacob, oh, the Lord says, let me go. Let me go. For the day breaketh. Oh, do you cry so long to the Lord? Maybe in the middle of the night and in the morning, that the Lord, he says, let me go now because it is morning. And Jacob cannot. He cannot. He says, Lord, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. Oh, that your hope may be on Jehovah's stay. Let him not go. And you shall be blessed. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, thou dost give in thy word that promise that they who ask shall receive. Remember then those who ask, those who cry, Lord, wilt thou hear them from heaven, thy dwelling place? For thou knowest their place when we do not. Thou knowest the secret places. Thou knowest the inmost thought of the heart of young and old. Oh, that thou wouldst hear the needy when they cry, and save their soul when death draws nigh. Dismiss us with thy blessing. Forgive thou all our sins. O make us a seeking people, forsaking this world and all the sin that is therein, with desires after thee, the true and the living God. We may acknowledge thee for thy help. Be with us in the week to come. Watch over young and old. Keep us from a sudden and an unprepared death. watch over in the building of the sanctuary, also in this week, when the walls are to be put up, wilt thou watch over and give safety, and wilt thou help all those that do travel back and forth also, and wilt thou keep in safety, do forgive and take away all our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. 238, all the stanzas. Zion, founded on the mountains, God, thy Maker, loves thee well. He has chosen thee, most precious. He delights in thee to dwell. God's own city, God's own city. Who can all thy glory tell? All the stanzas of Psalter 238. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.